That's The Word. That's a Beatles song, and that's Judy Nemac and Theo Bleckman, two definitive jazz singers, and so much more. That's from Judy's album, Straight Up. Judy was with me last week, and Theo is with me this week. Welcome back to WBGO.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for having me.
You're the most protean singer I know of, because you can do anything. You go all these different ways in different directions. You can't use the word, you can't modify the word unique, but if you could, you're one of the most unique vocal artists. It's almost beyond just calling you a singer. All the things you have done just phenomenally amaze me. And now you've got a new album, which is, you sort of been working your way toward this album for a long time, called Elegy. How did you get started? I mean, you're singing Charles Ives, you're singing a Beatles song just then, you're singing standards, you'll sing Las Vegas, you'll sing Berlin Cabaret, you'll go completely wherever your voice will take you. But how did you get started singing at all?
Well, I started in choral music in a children's choir. And before that, I played guitar. And during my time as a choral soloist, I played classical piano. So there was a lot of music in my life. But really, choral singing was my upbringing, and loved it. I loved singing with other people. I loved harmony. And then after my voice break, I started singing jazz because a friend of mine played Take Five on the clarinet on a school trip, and I was completely transformed. He just played the melody to Take Five, and I thought, this is what I want to be doing.
The song on that original Brubeck album, Strange Metal Arc, is the one that changed my life.
Yeah.
Just before Take Five, you know, and it was like, I'd never heard anything like that. But I wanted to hear much more like this. In fact, for a long time, only this and more. And that's the phenomenon about music. Music grabs a hold of you. And the voice is the first instrument, since it's the one that comes with the package. That's the other twist, though. You can't get a cold when it changes what key you're singing in.
Right.
But to be able to be an artistic singer like you have become, how do you get from Take Five to that, from the school bus to that?
Well, I think you give yourself permission to go all over the place as an artist. That's number one. I never had inhibitions of doing jazz standards and being in performance art and singing in German or singing without words. These are things that you, as a singer or as an artist, give yourself permission to do. Nobody else will otherwise. So there's that. And I have a lot of interests. I think all these different interests influence and help each other inform what I do in performance art, will then, you know, create something different in another medium. So there's, you know, it's cross-pollination for me.
I'm talking with Theo Bleckman. Born in Germany, and we were, I was teasing with Judy, because Judy last week, she teaches in Berlin,
yeah.
And we were talking about singing. She's going to be singing an opera in French. I said, in French, you're singing in vowels, but in German is, I would think, the most difficult language to sing in, because there's so many consonants. I mean, you don't have those hanging onto those O's and I's and A's at the end of the words, like in your rhyme schemes.
Yeah, that's partially not really true, because German has been made fun of for obvious reasons in Hollywood movies, and then every time there's a German, it becomes very, very strong and very hard. But it doesn't have to be like that. And if you listen to, the Magic Flute, it's incredibly beautiful, and the singing is as beautiful as it can be, and the text too. So I don't think that's necessarily so. But, you know, if you listen to some Italian arias, of course, the vowels are the main dish.
I guess, yes. And, you know, I spent many times and many years in Berlin, and where for years the audience did not want to hear anything in English. They wanted everything translated into German, and they would boo singers off the stage. I saw this many times.
But now,
you're a world singer, and I want to get right to your album, because like I said, I think in some ways you've been going toward this for a long time, but Elegy features cats that you've been working with for a long time. Talk about them.
Well, there's Ben Maunder, who I've been working with since 1993, and then John Hollenbeck, who I started playing with in 1994. So that's over 25 years, or close to 25 years. So there's a lot of history in that, and then there's new cats like Shai Maestro, the piano player, and Chris Tordini, who also works in Becca Stevens' band, that are on this record.
Playing the bass, and the John Hollenbeck on the drums, you were together with him the last time you were here with me, which was quite a while ago, actually.
Yes.
And Ben Maunder on the guitar. And you quite often play gigs, just the two, you and one or the other
yes.
of them.
Yeah, John and I used to do percussion and voice concerts a lot more than we are now. I'm involved in John's big band, and I've toured with his Claudia Quintet as well. And pretty much any project we can, you know, put each other into, we will. And Ben, I am playing with in duo quite frequently.
I have to play right away because it's the song that I right away went to, because it's right out of my world, my other world, and that's you sing Comedy Tonight, the opening song from Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, Stephen Sondheim's song. What attracted you to want to sing this? And not at all like Zero Mostel. What is it about this song?
It's the two things come together. First off, when I saw A Funny Thing Happen on the Way to the Forum, which to me is a flawlessly, perfectly written show, and I saw it on Broadway, and I was so moved. I was in tears pretty much the whole time. And I wasn't in tears because it was so sad. I was in tears because it was so beautiful. And there's always a sadness to me when something is so exuberant. I don't know where that comes from or why that is, but I get really moved and sad. There's a certain tenderness in there. I cannot describe any other way than through making an arrangement like that, really. And the other aspect for this was that the songs on this record are centering around the theme of death and transcendence. And my mom was a hilarious person. She would make herself laugh and giggle at any opportunity. So I wanted to put this in here because that was part of her tombstone.
And the irony of this for me, because I think it's the funniest show ever written.
Oh, totally. I completely agree with you, though. It's funny, but also, when something is that perfect and funny and great, I get moved. Like, really, there's a sadness. I don't know why.
I was sitting in the front row of the balcony, and there's a moment in there that was the funniest thing I have ever seen on a stage. And I laughed so hard, my legs started cramping, and I was being pulled up from my chair by my cramping legs and started to pitch over into the orchestra down below. So I literally almost died laughing at Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. You do everything. I mean, you've done albums with Broadway songs. You've done... Tell me about the Dutch Schultz thing that you did.
A couple of years ago, composer Eric Salzman and theater director Valery Vasilievsky asked me to co-collaborate on a piece about the gangster Dutch Schultz. And so we started working on a theater piece. It was contemporary music theater. It wasn't jazz, but it wasn't opera. And when you say I'm doing everything, that's not really true. I can't sing opera in an operatic way. I wouldn't dare to sing, you know, bluegrass or hip-hop or any of that. I have certain parameters that limit me just physically already. But so this was a music theater piece with sets, with movement, with costumes, with lights. It was a full production that went on tour, ironically, in Holland, Dutch Schultz. So it was paid for by the Netherlands, I guess.
And I'd like to hear that sometime. You're literally around the corner from where Dutch Schultz was gunned down.
Really?
There's a little plaque on the wall. This is where he was shot
dead. Oh, I got to go there today.
Gangster.
Yeah.
And because who got involved for a minute in paying for shows.
I saw the pictures and all the photographs from the research, yeah.
Famously walked up to Andy Razaf and said, I want a funnier song in the show. And Andy was about to say something, and Dutch Schultz put a gun to his head and said, I want a funnier song in the show. So I've always appreciated that he was shot dead around the corner from WBGO. Let's talk about somebody wonderful that who's inspired you and worked with you, and that's Sheila Jordan. There's nobody sings like Sheila Jordan.
Yeah. Nobody sings like her, and nobody is like her.
Exactly. That's also true.
Yeah.
And how did you connect?
I saw a tiny ad in a jazz magazine in Germany that Sheila Jordan was going to give a jazz workshop in faraway Graz, Austria. And I was on the train so fast, not knowing anything, not knowing anybody, and I just, in good faith, auditioned for her class. There were, yeah, I don't know, 50, 60 singers trying to get into a class of six people. And she chose me. She chose me to be there for 3 months on the dime of the school to study with her. And I was over the moon. And we connected right away. There was no filter. I mean, it was the friendship and the love for each other was right there right away.
Let's listen you on her album, Jazz Child, with the Steve Kuhn Trio. That's someone else that she's worked with for years and years. You do three songs together. Pick one.
Oh, let me see.
It's either Real Time.
Real Time, yeah.
Real Time? Real time.
Why not?
Okay. With Theo Blackman and Sheila Jordan. Sheila Jordan and Theo Blackman together. Mentor and call yourself a disciple, maybe.
Yeah, of course. I call myself anything regarding Sheila, friend, student, lifelong student, life student.
She goes on the stage and then she starts singing. She just sings. And she's telling her life story quite often.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, she's just, that's it. She sings her life, not just the story of her life, but her life is the actual singing. Yeah. It's like speaking for her.
Yeah. And she embodies the love that she feels in her daily life. The I can't count the many lives she's touched, not only through her music, but also personally.
She's worked with George Gruntz and done a couple of operas with him. Did you ever work with George?
No, I would have loved that, of course.
You would have been perfect for him.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, Theo is one of the most protean singers. You know, those actors in Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum are called the proteans, the ones who become all the soldiers or the other servants or whatever, or the eunuchs or whatever. They're called the proteans because they can transform into anything. And you do that likewise. And that was also what was extraordinary about the group Moss when you were in that, because you had five singers who are all individuals and came together.
Yeah, Moss was Luciana Souza, Peter Eldridge, Lauren Kinnon, Kate McGarry, and myself, trying to create a vocal group that doesn't operate on hiding in harmony, but stepping forward in individuality. So each piece centers around one or two people. And really trying to get a group sound with individual voices.
That's interesting. Did you say hiding in the harmony? What do you mean?
Well, not having a personality, like not like creating harmony by losing yourself as a voice. And of course, you have to blend and all that. But how is it? How can we create an all-star band like you see in jazz, where you can hear? Oh, that's Wayne Shorter on the saxophone, or, you know, that's Randy Brecker on the trumpet, even in an ensemble of five, you know, five brass players.
So. But I think that's also true about voices, because I've heard groups that are like that. And the ultimate jazz group, there's the extra personality. If it's a quartet, there's four individuals, and then the fifth individual is the group.
Yeah, yeah.
That comes with an identity.
Right.
It's just, you know, the Manhattan Transfer, nobody sounds like them.
No, of course.
And yet you can hear Janice,
yes,
in there, just like you're talking about.
Yeah. And you can, with Lambert Hendricks and Russ, you can, you know, identify it immediately, of course. And that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. So let's listen to Moss. Yeah. Why did you pick the name? Do you know why? You know, it's the flip side of the Rolling Stones Gather No Moss. But
that was, I think that was my crazy brainchild. I thought it would be, Moss is sort of resistant to a lot of destruction, and it grows anywhere. So that was really the idea behind it. Just having a short name for a group.
When you're putting this album together, it's your newest album on ECM, with John Hollenbeck playing the drums and Ben Mondor on a guitar. You've worked with them for years. And Shai Maestro is on the piano and Chris Tordini is on the bass. But putting this album together, in a way, I think of all the things that I've heard you do, you've been aiming towards something like this. You think of this album as kind of a bringing together of so many roads come to this confluence of things. Yeah. So what was it you were thinking of? Is there a common denominator? Is there a...
Yeah, a lot of the... all of the pieces are written by me, except for the arrangement of Comedy Tonight, which I wrote, but it's not my composition. So there's that aspect in this record that's there. And then there's also the idea or the theme of death in a transcendent kind of way, more like a Bach cantata would look forward to death. It would be something to welcome and accept. And so all these songs are related in a abstract way, sometimes without words, more in mood, but then oftentimes in direct lyrics.
Hence the title of the album, Elegy?
Yes.
Theo Blackman.
Someone is well read.
Elegy is the title piece from a new album of Theo Blackman, and he's with me on the WBGO. So how many gigs do you have juggling in the air now, projects and things you want to do?
I'm working on a sort of very strange performance music piece with a Philadelphian composer named Jacob Cooper about Atlantic City, so there's that. I'm writing some more pieces. Right now I'm really busy with this record. We just finished a 3-week tour in Europe. We just played at the Big Ears Festival in Knoxville. I'm also writing a new solo program for myself, just a solo voice. And, God, yeah, I can't even think of the stuff. There's a lot of... It's a workshop I'm doing in San Francisco this summer.
I asked you when you first came in if I could put you on the spot and have you sing something, just a cappella.
Yeah. Okay, there we have it. Okay, let me just get a pitch. This is a piece called Duet for One, and I wrote it based on a technique that's found in Norway and also in Minnesota, is ingressive singing, where people go yeah, so they can make a pitch. You can make a pitch inhaling. So let's go. So there it is. iPhone, good iPhone piano. Hee-oh, hoo, hoo.
The fjords come to WBGO and Theo Blechman. I can actually hear, you know, I've been on the fjords, and you can almost hear that, something yeah. like that coming out of, when you're down there and you hear it coming, and then you'll see a waterfall, and it's like, oh, you hear this sound comes out.
Yeah.
It's like that. Yeah. It really is. I mean, the earth sings.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking of nature, actually. I was thinking of mountains. There's a little bit of yodeling in the beginning, so, yeah.
Do you have exercises to keep your chops in shape? Because you actually, I mean, people don't think about it, but, you know, in speaking, we speak from different parts of our,
yeah.
sometimes you speak in the back of your throat, in the front of your throat, or through your nasal, and people are more nasal.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're singing, you got your tongue involved, your teeth involved, and everything else, and it changes the pitch of what you're singing, and you can twist things which
yeah.
way or that.
Yeah.
Do you have exercises to
oh,
keep
yeah.
your, what do you do?
Yes. Well, I have, you know, scales and different exercises to work on my chest and my head and my mix. I've worked with Jeanette Lovetri, incredible voice coach, who I still go to and work on certain areas of my voice. Speaking is much less complex than singing, actually, physically. I mean, it's hard to speak, it's complicated, but singing has to have more accuracy than speaking, as far as pitch and breath control in many ways. So it requires a more fine-tuned apparatus.
Your lungs are more involved, your diaphragm
yeah,
is more
exactly.
involved, and then your entire body is more involved when you're singing.
Yeah.
That that's your instrument,
yeah.
it's you, your whole body is you.
Exactly.
Not just what's in your throat.
And this goes back to Sheila, your whole body also means your soul and your psyche and your personality. And that's why I think Sheila is such an amazing, amazing singer, is because her heart is in the right place. And that's part of her music. It's not, as a singer, you're not just, you know, your larynx and your lungs, and that's it. That's, to me, that it goes beyond that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And have you checked out other cultures much more? I mean, I heard some Turkish singers who are singing quarter tones, in between, it's like Monk playing in between the keys on the piano. You're hearing a note that's sort of in between the notes.
Yeah.
And I've heard singers in like Turkey doing this, and you think, wow, this person is out of tune. And you realize, no, our ears are not in tune with where he's
yeah.
going.
Yeah.
And then you feel the building shake. It's amazing.
Yeah. Tuning is a whole other topic. But I've done a lot of contemporary music, and I've also worked in contemporary music that was not well tempered, so I had to learn quarter note music and, you know, microtonal music, and that's a really good way of tuning your ear to well tempered music as well, because then you really hear what's in tune and what's out of tune a little bit better. Have I spent a lot of time? Yes, I listen to world music, of course, but I am not of the school of imitating, you know, other cultures. I think if you spend a lot of time with your own voice, you eventually come up on almost identical techniques and things you can do with your voice, because the human voice is made of the same flesh and bone pretty much everywhere. Of course, there's some people that have an amazing control over certain techniques. But I've done a lot of this, and I still do a lot of exploration of the voice and extended vocal techniques, especially in working with Meredith Monk, the great composer and choreographer and filmmaker, that you come up on all kinds of other things all by yourself. That then you go, oh my God, they're doing that in Tuva, or they're doing that in Turkey, or they're doing that, you know, in Serbia.
Or where do that came, yeah. Where do they do that in Mongolian throat singing? It's like, how did they, it says throat singing, but how? You can't even imagine how that sound was created by human throat.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's, and ultimately, physically, you can explain it.
Yes, you have to figure it out sooner or later. Let's listen. Well, here, you know, one of the pieces on your new album, Elegy, is inspired by the poetry of Zen. So there's,
yes.
You know, there's a cultural element. And tell us about this song.
Well, I like, first of all, I like short lyrics. I like lyrics that are to the point. And Zen lyrics provide that, like the piece, the Moss piece, Longing. This is called To Be Shown to Monks at a Certain Temple, and it speaks about nature telling us not to worry, to just keep going when you're concerned with mortality and with death. Nature says, keep on moving.
Theo Bleckman again, like I said, if you can modify the word unique, you're one of the most unique singers out and about doing everything that you do.
Thanks.
I look forward again. Listen forward, and good to see you again.
Yes,
and,
thank you, Michael.
Yeah, it's been too long.
Yeah,
let's split with you and Sheila.
Yes.
Let's. What's O. Henry? What is that?
That is a blues to which we had a lyric, and it has a counterpoint, a very sweet counterpoint. So we recorded it together. She really needed another voice for that.
With the Steve Kuhn Trio. On WBGO.
Yes, you told me that you loved me. I didn't believe it, you wonderful thing. Oh yes, you broke up a start and lost my heart, so let's mend it and be sweet.